Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and yes, to live a more positively minded life. In the mood. Yep, that's what we're listening to. In the mood, Glenn Miller. In the mood, a very, very extraordinary concept, mood. That's what we're going to discover today. Today we're going to talk about moods, different kinds of moods, what moods are about. Usually the focus of mood discussion is about mood disorders, which is a psychiatric term which we'll tell you about too. But a mood, you know, M-O-O-D, whoever made up that word, it's a relatively long-lasting, affective or emotional state. It's not transient. It's not so fast. You're in a mood, you're in a mood. Moods differ from simple emotions in that they're less specific, often less intense, less likely to be triggered by a particular stimulus or event, and are longer lasting. Moods generally have either a positive or a negative valence. Think about that. You know, good moods or bad moods. In other words, people often speak of being in a good mood or a bad mood. Unlike acute emotional feelings like fear or surprise, moods generally last for hours or days. Moods also differ from temperament or personality traits, which are even more general and longer lasting. You know, a person's character is different. That's not their mood. Mood's an internal subjective state, but it often can be inferred from posture, other behaviors, just the way the person looks. In fact, there's a whole article about people's facial expressions will tell you what their mood is. Now, according to a guy named Robert Thayer, mood is a product of two dimensions. He thought this was interesting. Energy and tension. A person can be energetic and tired while also being tense or calm. And according to Thayer, people feel best when they are calm and they have energy. And they feel worse when they are tired or when they are tense. Now, let's get that. So we're talking about moods in case you just tuned in. So there are some four determinants of moods. We have either feeling energetic or tired. Which one do you feel right now? Are you tired or are you energetic? And then add to that, are you tense or are you calm? So if you just take these four little items, right, you know, take a look at it. Which one are you? If you're calm and you're energetic, it's beautiful. If you're calm and you're tired, well, that's not so beautiful. You know, if you're calm and you're tense, well, you can't be calm and tense. That's kind of impossible, right? So here's the way it goes. People also, you know, people try to medicate themselves and they get in moods. You get in a mood, you try to do something. Now, we know, we've learned that a little bit of exercise improves the mood. Why do you think so many people are running on treadmills? You know, what is that treadmill all about? You think it's about exercise? You think it's about getting your lungs going? No, it's a mood improver. People are getting their mood to lift. They'd rather go exercise now, not because exercise is making you live longer, because exercise makes you feel better. You see, that's behind the whole game up there. That's what we're seeing. That's why, because it's silly. Imagine 100 years ago if you told people run on a treadmill, like a little mouse or something, you're running on a treadmill, and this will make you feel good. We looked at mice back 50 years ago, and we thought they were pathetic for running on a treadmill. Then we got on the treadmill, and we said, ooh, that mouse is not so stupid. Running on that treadmill makes him feel good. We feel good. Why does the mouse do it? Do you think the mouse does it because he thinks he's going to live longer? No, because it feels good. Because he changes his chemistry that way. So a little bit of exercise will generally increase your mood and give you more energy. If you want to increase your mood, if you want to change your mood, you see, some people feel comfortable with moods that would be considered bad moods. They don't want to come out of it. Very important. I knew a man once. He came to see me. He had inherited a small fortune, a small amount of money, not a fortune, but money. And so he didn't work. He came to me and he said, "You know, I think I should work." He said, "I think I should work and I should do some kind of work because I've been living off," he was 50 years old. He said, "I've been living off my mother's money for so long." He said, "And I do nothing." He says, "I need some kind of a job." Anyway, I helped this man, who we'll call David, become a taxi driver. Why taxi driver? Because it fit his personality. He wanted to be isolated. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to be friendly, but he wanted to have a barrier between him and the people, you know. And so it kind of fit his personality. It was terrific. And I said to him, "And in addition, David, we got to get rid of your depression." And he said to me, "Oh, no, don't take my depression away." And he protected his depression. He said, "I will not do this if it tells me it takes my depression away. My depression," he said, "that's my safest place in the world. I love my depression." Well, that's hard to believe. Who would love depression, right? Another man came to see me. His name was Arthur. And I remember Arthur had his... I said, "Arthur, hold this pillow here." And I gave him a pillow to hold. It was like a couch pillow, you know. And he kind of held on to the pillow. I said, "This is your depression." I said, "It's now here in this pillow." I said, "I'm going to grab it," because I had a sense about him. And I put my hand on the pillow and said, "I'm going to take it away." And he yelled back and he said, "No, you won't." And I said, "Sure, you're in a shrink's office. I'm going to take away your depression." He said, "I won't let you have my depression." And he fought me like crazy, pulling at the pillow, protecting the pillow, saying, "I'm going to keep this." He said, "Because that's all I know." Well, it taught me a lesson or two about assuming that people should be a way that I assumed they would be. Some people prefer their mood. Now, you may say that's because they don't know any better, and that may be true. You know, once David got to driving a cab, he suddenly could feel that his mood was shifting because of the energy, because being outside, and his mood did lift, but it lifted on his terms, not on mine. Armand DeVille here with you with The Positive Mind. So we're going back to talking about moods and your moods, my friends, and I hope you understand, because the more you understand, the less judgmental you be. Think about moods. Moods can come from any number of places. People use anything to regulate moods. Smoking a cigarette is a mood regulator. Having a shot of alcohol is a mood regulator. Don't you get it? What kind of mood are you when you come out of work? You're tense. You're tired and tense. Now, we learned there's alert, there's tired, there's calm, and there's tense. Right? The worst. You come out of work with the worst possible condition. Right? You're tense and you're tired. You go to a bar, you take a shot of alcohol. All of a sudden, you feel alert. The alcohol is pure sugar, right? It burns right away. You get, you wake up from it, and your muscles dissolve. And you become alert and calm. Is there little wonder that people drink? People who smoke, they go outside, right? Smoking nicotine energizes you, and it calms you down. Little wonder that people have their smoking breaks. You know, so people have to have something. People do things to alter their chemistry. Of course, these are not the things I like. You know, these are not the things I recommend, but some people overeat. I like to overeat. You know, you eat, and eating can make you feel, especially if it's exciting food, you know, like food that stimulates you as well. Nice, nice, stimulating, and it relaxes you. So we're always trying to affect our mood in some way. Some people use sex to affect their mood. For many people, orgasm will bring them to a place of calm. You know, relaxed kind of a place, as opposed to a tension thing. All right, so people use food to regulate mood. And Thayer identified a fundamental food-mood connection and advises against a reliance on food as a mood regulator, because he thinks if you use food as your mood regulator, you've got to get in trouble with food. Then you're no longer in control with it. So if you get used to doing it, then you got to get fat. You know, or if you're going to used to staying away from food, you got to become anorexic. He said, watch out for that connection. I kind of understand what he's saying. The low energy arousal coupled with tension as experienced in a bad mood can be counteracted by walking, you know, and walking, according to Thayer, is like the best thing we could do. But, you know us humans, right? You think taking a walk, improving our mood would be a good... Nah. Now, you go into Central Park, everybody's running, right? So there we are now, running and on treadmills, and what are we doing? We're trying to pick up our mood. So what are we saying? We're saying, hey, you know, if people didn't run and people didn't exercise, they probably all slide into some kind of a lousy mood. Lousy mood. Who ever heard of a lousy mood? What kind of moods are there? You know, were you ever in a blue mood? Sometimes you just don't know why you're in a blue mood, but you're slightly teary-eyed and you have blue eyes and, you know, you just kind of, I don't feel so nice. How about, if not a blue mood, if you're into an angry mood, you're just angry, or better yet, how about a kind of a pensive mood where you're thoughtful and you're sitting around and you're thinking about everything. And you're kind of a low energy. So you say, now think about low energy, high energy. Here we go. Which of the high energy ones? Like a happy mood or a silly mood. Those are high energy moods, right? And how about irritable, nasty, cranky, you know, kind of pissy mood it's called. You know, you just kind of, anybody talks to you, you kind of spit on them. You know, get away from me, you know. It's just like a nasty kind of thing. That's a mood. Now there's another mood that's a very confusing one. There's a sexy mood. You could be in a sexy mood. You ever get in a mood that you just gotta have sex? You feel an urging, something in your body is saying, I gotta have it. Right? Now, as a kid, of course, there were, you know, a lot of urgings coming up, but sometimes there's a sexy mood, and sometimes there's another mood which is a romantic mood, you know? Let's have a romantic dinner, says the wife to the husband, and he's in a sexy mood. So that means the rule is he's got to come home, she's got to light the candles, she has to have soft music, he's got to sit there through dinner because he's in a sexy mood and she's in a romantic mood. She considers, she says, look, if you want your sexy mood to get satisfied, you got to pay my romantic mood some dues. It's not always woman and men, because sometimes the men are like that, too. They want romance. And then, of course, there's always the amazing romexy mood, which is romantically sexy. You know, you could be in both being the romexies. Yeah, that's my favorite, romexies. I think that it's a good requirement of people. Sour, negative, pessimistic moods. That kind of goes along with irritable, nasty, cranky. How about being in a strange mood? Did you ever get in a strange mood? A strange mood is where you just don't know who you are. It's like you're walking beside yourself. You know, it's like you're a Jekyll and Hyde, but not exactly. It's like you're a werewolf who's out during the day, and you're not showing your teeth. You know, it's like you're a latent vampire, or you feel like you've been abducted by another planet, or that the Earth is the Matrix. You're in a strange mood. You're in an altered state of consciousness. How are you feeling today? I feel strange. It's almost like there's something looming and you don't know what it is. It's almost like you're a bird and you can sense that there's a tsunami coming. You know, what do you feel? I feel strange. There's something about to happen. Strange moods. It's a mellow mood. Nice mellow mood. It's always like a slow clarinet. You know? You know, nice and soft clarinet music. Mellow. Dreamy moods. Dreamy moods are nice. That usually happens. Dreamy mood is a nice mood, especially after a romexy mood, you know? Because if you have romance and sex and then you follow it with dreamy, it's kind of nice, right? And then there's tired mood. I'm tired, you know, and that's that other mood we talked about. Tired mood is one, intense is another mood. So what's your mood, my friends, you know? What are you feeling out there? What do you need to understand about your mood? You know, there are moods that are affected directly by the season. They have a thing called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Affect means emotional. Disorder means disorder. Seasonal means seasonal, strangely. And now, seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder means that when the light changes, the amount of available daylight changes, so does your mood. Now, we have linked that. We know that that is linked to some hormones, serotonin, dopamine, these old other things that go on with you. As the light gets shorter, as there's a smaller spectrum of light out there, you kind of pull inside, and people get depressed with the winter, you know? And they get undepressed when the light comes along, spring and summer. There's another one called mood disorders. Now, mood disorders, that's a funny one, boy. It's a condition where the prevailing emotional mood is distorted or inappropriate to the circumstance. So a person has a mood disorder when they have a mood that doesn't take into consideration the immediate situation, and it lasts, like depression, major depression, what the thing they call dysthymia, the mood disorder, postpartum depression. You know, you just had a baby. You just had a little partum, right? And now you're postpartum. And you had this little baby, and all of a sudden you're sinking through the floor and you can't pick your head up. That's a mood disorder. There's a thing called cyclothymia, which doesn't have anything to do with joyrides. Cyclothymia has to do with mood swings. Now, then there's mania. Mania. Oh, a manic mood? Phew, we didn't talk about those in moods. Manic, what kind of mood are you in? I'm in a manic mood. Nobody will ever say it because you never recognize your manic mood. When you're in a manic mood, you say, I'm in a good mood. But you happen to be spending all your money on the internet. You know, nowadays people go shopping like crazy on the internet. They buy things and they... So shopping is one of the signs of a manic mood. Uncontrolled, inappropriate kind of shopping. Mania. Mania is kind of like a hyper energy. It's being up energy. It's energetic. And it's tense. Even though you seem happy, the combination here is energy and tension. Not energy and calm. Energy and tension. Usually can either be anger, right? You can be angry, that's energy and tension, or you could be manic. So manic and mania and hypermania, they're all kind of the same thing. It just means you're off the charts, inappropriate to the situation. Now let's talk about the situation. There's a thing where you can't feel any pleasure. You're depressed. You have a bad mood. Your grandchild comes over the house, right? He's 2 years old, and he can't cheer you up. There's nothing. You look at him, you don't feel anything. That's depression, right? Somebody buys you a present, brings you a corsage, a group of flowers, you know, a gardenia, something pretty, right? You can't help it. You're down in the dumps. It's named after a very famous person. Her name was Anne, and her last name is Hedonia. Anhedonia. Anhedonia means you have no hedon. You know, there's no hedonism. Anhedonia. And no hedonism is an exaggeration, because we're not looking for hedonistic pleasure, but just pleasure. Unable to feel pleasure. Mood. Melancholy is considered a mood, you know? But melancholy also fits into these mood things. Anhedonia, you can't feel any pleasure. So now, what they call mood disorders means a mood that won't quit. That's basically it. That's why it becomes a disorder. You can't function, and it's beyond the situation. So if you have a manic mood, and your brother dies, right, and you're suddenly still manic, doesn't fit the situation. That person's off the edge. Something wrong going on. Okay. So mood disorders are moods that have inappropriate to the situation. Now, the thing we started saying about mood modulation, which is kind of trying to change it in some way. How do you change your moods? What do you do? What do you do? Now, I know people that take one of two approaches to their moods. There's the one called going over the... Imagine an iceberg, okay? An iceberg floating in the water. And you're feeling something at a bad level. You don't feel good. And you're somewhere in the middle of this iceberg and you don't feel good. One way out of it is to go over the top. And go over the top means you stimulate yourself. You do something. You get involved in some activity. You go running. You come out through the top of the iceberg. You just come out through the very top. You take the shortest path. You go to the tip of the iceberg and you jump out. Right? So you could either go party, you could go take drugs, you could go smoke, you could drink, you could go together with friends. All of this is one way of changing your mood. Another way to change your mood is to go into the abyss. The abyss means where you take your mood and you say, what is this mood doing to me? A negative mood, a bad mood, is a terrible thing because it feels horrible. But most often people are trying to get out of it. As a therapist, what I like to do is I like to take people into it. I say, you're in a bad mood? You think this is bad? Let me show you bad. And I invite them to step into the deepness, the depth of their despair. Go further in. Go into it. Get further. Get more negative. Get more. Because I want to show them that as they go all the way into it, that they've really been fighting off this slide into the abyss. But once they let themselves go into the abyss, they think they're going to go crazy forever. And you know what happens? Nothing. They come out the other side. I think real psychotherapy is helping people go through the abyss. Very often. Sometimes there are people who get caught in the abyss and that's all they ever want to go to. Those people need to work their way into the sunlight. But mostly, I'm talking about trying to get people to deal with that which they're afraid of. Because when you're afraid of sliding into a worse mood because you're in a mood, then you add to it the tension of holding your mood where it is. You know, that's like trying to hold some mules or some horses from galloping. You're trying to hold it back and you spend all your attention. I don't want to feel any, I don't want to think about that. You know, I don't want to think about those things because they make me feel bad. Well, if you don't want to think about them because they make you feel bad, what if you got together with me? I mean, I'm not going to be there, but you got together with a friend and said, I'm going to think about this. I want to think about this because I'm afraid of it. And because I'm afraid of it, I want to think about it. I remember I used to do this with a friend of mine, Will. Will and I had these thoughts about fears that we had. Now, he was a therapist and I was a therapist, and we used to work together all the time. And he would say, you know, there's stuff that I'm afraid to consider. And we would talk about deaths in the past and people who died and things that took place. But here's a crazy, crazy thing we did one day, and I did this with my friend Will. I said, you know, Will, I said, if somebody slaps me in the face, that's the worst thing that could happen to me. I said, it's so bad that I become enraged. A slap in the face is bigger than a punch in the stomach. I said, if somebody would have hit me across the back with a 2x4, it won't be as bad as if they slapped me in the face. And he, Will, who's a pretty tough guy, said, yeah, he says, I understand. I wonder what that is about a slap in the face. So I thought about it, and I thought about, you know, well, what's the big deal? Did my father slap me in the face? Did my mother slap me in the face? Who slapped me in the face? Did my uncle slap me in the face? Did my cousin? What is it about a face slap that's so bad? And I said to Will, do me a favor. Slap me. And Will slapped me, and I almost tore his arms off. I felt like I was a tiger. I go rushing up at him, and he's a big guy, Will. So he kind of said, oh, okay, Armand. Hold on, and I just couldn't say, what is it? What is it? Why this rage reaction? I said, all right, Will, all right, I calm down. I said, do it again. And he did it again. And this time, instead of the rage, I found the door. And you know what the door was? I cried. And I cried, and I felt these tears come up out of me, and it was so enormous and so big. And it brought back all the humiliation I ever felt in my life. And he, as a good friend, he said, go with it, Armel. You know, that's what we did with each other. And I remember going through the bottom of it. And after that, I don't care. If somebody wants to slap me. I won't react inappropriately. I'll turn the other cheek. But the idea here is to find out about yourself, you know, and to challenge yourself. And the idea about your moods is Know that the mood is a kind of holding place. It's a place that's stopping you and holding you in a place. You don't want any mood to be fixed. You don't want your mood to be so predetermined, even a silly mood. You know, it's enough. Sometimes you got to step out of your silly mood. Did you ever fall in love with anybody who was just being silly? Will you ever date anybody who's just being silly? I know a man whose wife says, I love this man, but all he does is he gets silly. And he acts silly, and he plays, he's always playing, and I just wish he would kind of join me sometime. And silliness, I don't like. She said, I don't like it all the time. She wants Romexy. That's what she wants. You know, Romexy, right? Give me a little romance, give me a little sexy, and then... And later we could be Romexa silly, you know, later, but not immediately afterwards, please. Give me a little time to rest. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about moods and the kind of moods that people go through. And we're going to be taking a short break in a couple of minutes. And after we take our break, I'm going to play you a little music. Oh, something real special today. Sunjog. Ooh, boy, is that special. And because it's going to alter your mood if you give in. So what I chose is something that is not going to perk you up, but has a calm energy to it, where I suggest if you get a chance to take 2 minutes or 3 minutes and tune into it and close your eyes, it'll change you. But you don't have to. You can go do your laundry, take out your garbage, or make the necessary phone calls, whatever you choose to do. Because, you know, you're a free person. This is Armand DeMille with you. Duke University study found that a regular program of physical activity relieved depression just as effectively as widely used antidepressants. You know? So it's like, this is a test at Duke. It was testing it against Zoloft and things like that. And they found, no, if you put your person on, you know, get them on a treadmill, they'll change your mood. But the assumption here, remember the assumption. The assumption is that nobody wants to be depressed, and it's not true. Depression usually comes as a result of anger that you don't want to feel. So for many people, they just don't want to get angry, you see? So they get depressed instead. So they say to you very often, don't take my depression away because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get angry, and I don't want to get angry. So some people see anger as worse than depression. So what they do is they protect their depression. And that's part of understanding and loving people. You got to love people where they are. If they feel that way, have some respect for it. You know, I mean, what difference is it to you? Of course, you don't want to date somebody who's in a bad mood all the time. You know, you get somebody who's in a sour mood or a romanticless mood or, you know, you're going out with them and they're over and over again. Every time you see them, they're miserable in some form or other. That's not your dream. That's not your idea. You may want to shake that up somewhat, you know. So you just don't want to invite somebody to be miserable all the time if you don't like it. But if you could put up with it and you see it as transient and part of your love is to allow them to be who they are, they'll go through it. They'll be okay. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 279-209. Hey, we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. This is Armand DeMille. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind WBAI 99.5 FM. You're listening to Zakir Hussain. Z-A-K-I-R-H-U-S-S-A-I-N. Zakir Hussain. Very popular name nowadays is Hussain, huh? Coming out of nowhere. Zakir Hussain, who plays tabla on this piece, and it's from an album called Making Music. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. We are talking about mood today, and we're going to be taking your phone calls about mood. Mood, what's a funny word, M-O-O-D, you know what I mean? Whoever made up that word for mood? It rhymes with nude, it rhymes with the feud, rhymes with rude. How about make a sentence rhyming things with mood? How about this? The nude dude got a blue mood and started a feud when he was misunderstood. Well, that was the last one I kind of got away with. 212-209-2900 is our phone number here. 212-209-2900. What's your mood today? Hey, what's your mood, and what do you know about your moods? You know, how do your moods change? How do they shift? You know, do you want to have any further command over your mood? You want to leave your moods just as they are? Let's take your call, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Oh, and no, we must have somebody calling in. It's always, when we get back for after a week, it takes us a little bit to get their phone calls queued up.
All right, go ahead.
Hi there, you're on the air. Hello?
I'm Juliet. I'm here. I'm Juliet, and I'm calling from my cell in New York City here. And I'm calling about my daughter, who's five, who has these moods of fear. Is fear a mood?
Well, fear is a feeling, you know what I mean? Fear is an emotion, and it could be considered a mood if it's consistent, but I don't think anybody could stay in a frightened mood for too long because your body would exhaust itself. I mean, is she terrified all the time?
She's not terrified. She was exposed to a traumatic event, and it sort of triggered this fear.
What was the traumatic event?
Daddy ran over her puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And that was after a traumatic pregnancy where she witnessed some, I had a twin pregnancy and she had witnessed the middle of the pregnancy where I was bleeding. And then it was like I was in the hospital for a while and then the doggy, and so it wasn't her mood before, but it's become like a post-traumatic thing.
Yeah, so in other words, your daughter, you see, children's minds are kind of interesting because a child has to make things up to solve crisis. And they see crisis, they have to make up something. They have to make up something in their minds. And one of the things they might make up in their mind, you never know what they make up because adults are always trying to teach them lessons. And adults are always trying to tell them, don't worry about it, we'll get you a replacement dog, we'll do this, daddy was an accident, daddy didn't care, mommy was bleeding, but she was okay. And you tell all these words to the child no longer believes anything it hears because it believed at first it was safe. Yesterday, I sat with a group of men, and I was sitting with men, and they were discussing safety and when they felt safe and what happens when they lost their illusions of being safe in the world. You know, like sometimes it's the clergy that blows your image or your school teachers or your parents. So your child's world was shattered.
Oh, yeah.
And none of the words from her parents are helping her come out of this. You know, your words aren't helping. Where, by the way, where is Dad?
Dad's at home, and I'm driving in the city with her. We're having a special day. We're going to the Central Park Zoo.
You're going to the Central Park. Is your daughter in the car with you now?
Yes, she just fell asleep. You want to say hi to her?
No. Don't wake your daughter.
Okay.
Don't wake your daughter. I would love to say hi, but you see, the very idea that your daughter's asleep and you would wake her, there's a level of safety we have to keep for her. And what sometimes it really pays, even though I do not like psychotherapy for children, I don't like it. I don't like invasion of a young mind unless you really know what you're doing. It may be, in this case, having somebody to talk to might make all the difference in the world. And I know somebody who's a great specialist in that. Her name is Stephanie Roth. And maybe just somebody on the outside to talk to can make all the difference.
Well, she is. We brought her to somebody because at first we thought it was OCD. The doctor said, "Oh, kids that develop like fears like that, that could be the beginning of fear, like OCD, an obsessive thought process." But because she was worried about like irrational things, like she was like after the dog, then she said, "Oh, there's a tsunami coming and different things like this," and then we said, "You know, we really got to get her some help." So we talked to this Dr. Crowell at Stony Brook University, and she said, no, it's post-traumatic stress disorder because she won't separate from us. And she said it's pretty obvious, and that's what they do. But
sure.
I want to know how to get her out of it because, it's sad.
Yeah, and it's not – the getting her out of it is another thing. Remember what I said about the guy with the pillow where he doesn't want to – she doesn't want to leave her mood because her mood is protecting her right now. So
well,
it's not going to be okay for you to try to get her out of it.
So is she? So am I just out of control here? Just wait
yes.
it out?
Or? Yes, so much so that your daughter's asleep in the car right next to you, and she's hearing the words you're saying while she's asleep, and you don't think she's hearing them.
No.
You see what I mean? That's how big your efforts are. Give me a call after the program or some other time, and I can talk to you at some length, and I'll give you some direction.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Take care.
Right. 212-209-2900. You know, children hear things when they're asleep. You know, you'd think that, the kid's asleep. We could just now argue or talk or say bad things. But they go in the mind. I knew a woman, who in her adult life, she went to revisit her mother. Now, her mother was like 30 years old, and she was from Canada. She went to visit her mother in Canada, right? And she goes to the, and she's asleep. And her mother wakes up and she realizes something. Her mother was sitting at her bedside and her mother was saying to her, "Oh, it's so nice that you're home. And you know, I want you to remember I'm the only person who will ever love you and nobody's ever going to love you the way I do." While she was asleep, her mother was hypnotizing her. And she woke up at age 30 knowing and remembering that this took place her entire childhood. That every time she was a kid at night, her mother used to sneak in the room. Not sneak in, come in the room, and then tell her things. And that she would not remember them. Amazing youthful consciousness. And how it easily it's affected, you know, and it becomes things, so... 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's have another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm a huge fan of your show. I really appreciate you taking my call. In relation to mood, since as far back as I can remember, which is about age 4, I've always been pretty much depressed. And if not melancholic, and once in a while I would be somewhat manic about things.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, I heard that you talked about it being, you know, unexpressed anger and...
Now you're saying you've been manic and you've also been depressed, so you probably have seen a bipolar condition, right?
Well, the manic is very rare. I mean, that would be the upside of it, but my speech pattern gets faster. But it would be predominantly, let's say, 19 days out of 20 would be one of depression.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fixed depression. Now, am I saying that has to do with repressed anger? Take a look. Give me the evidence. What do you have to say about it? How is your how are you when you get angry?
It's not exactly a pleasant situation. I mean, I can go to a white rage where I don't have much control, and it can happen within seconds.
And does that happen frequently, or is that 1 out of 10 times?
I would say more frequently than not. I mean, over the years, it has somewhat, you know, dissipated, but nevertheless, it wouldn't take a lot to trigger me off into a rage.
So one would wonder, why do you go from rage to depression, right? Why is this so available? Because, you know, let's think about it for a minute. If you were an animal and you were surviving, and you were a wounded animal and you were in a cave, and somebody put their hand in the cave, you know, as soon as you felt it, while you were, what would you do? You'd bite at it. You'd rip at it.
Right.
And that's kind of telling me about you. It's saying that you live in a cave of sorts, and the cave is your depression, and that every now and then an invasion takes place, and what happens is you rip at it, you bite at it, because you're trying to stay in this protection of your cave. So I would say, yes, we have to explore that rage, because rage is always a reflection of something in addition to anger. You know, it's anger magnified. So I would say yes. If you have to deal, if it's there, and I mean the rage is there, and if the rage is there, then it's a problem of anger, and that's inevitably going to turn into depression. You know, so the way to go in your particular case, is through the bottom. And that means to be able to find out what it is inside you that just needs to be felt, the part of you that wants to survive.
Well, I grew up in the foster care system, and it was a pretty horrendous experience. And, you know, I felt like I've expressed my anger, you know, over the years. And, you know, let's say Father's Day went by recently, I was totally indifferent to it. And
sure.
I guess my mother died when I was 2, and in some way I feel like a resentment towards her, because if she had been alive, I think my life would be very different. I wouldn't have been exposed to the kind of abuse that I was exposed to and the tormentation that I was exposed to.
Absolutely. So I understand your anger towards her. If you had died when you were 2, you wouldn't be going through this anguish either. You know what I mean? I mean, that's...
So too.
That's true. You know, it's either if she died or you died. I mean, maybe you should have died and she would have lived, and this way you would have been spared this grief. Anybody who goes through foster care, especially if it's abusive, anybody who loses a parent early on, has got a right to be pissed off, but not a right that they carry it around and they wave a flag and say, I have a right to be angry. But of course you're angry. You're like anybody who's been abandoned. You're like a refugee. It's like you're, you know what I mean? So of course you're going to take care of yourself this way. It takes a while to sort it out, but you could sort it out.
And what's your suggestion? I mean, I've tried various therapies, and yet I feel like, you know, intellectually I get, you know, the stuff. Like, you know, you speak in a way that's highly enlightening for me. And yet I have to say I feel like to a great degree that I have, you know, made very little progress. Now, I do have technology that my anger and my rage has definitely dissipated, because I felt like I've gone into my fear and you know, just say, God, help me accept my fear, because it's, you know, it's the primary emotion. The second one is anger. But I don't know if you have any thoughts to share on...
Well, it sounds to me... What's your name?
Nick.
Nick. It sounds to me like you've already made a tremendous progress. You know, I mean, this is... I don't care how long you've been doing it, but from what you described, you probably shouldn't have even survived. You know, it sounds like you should have wound up in a loony bin or something, you know, where you just couldn't get by at all. And the truth of it is, Nick, you have fought your way to a certain point. You are in a certain amount of world. You make good contact with me. I mean, I could hear your contact. You're not disconnected. So I would say you're doing a great job, and it's going to just take some time, you know. And hopefully, while your bones are still flexible enough to dance, it'll get to a point where you'll find some kind of a person who could be with and some kind of a clearing. There are other things that we could possibly look at as to how to expedite, how to make it a little faster, how to go along. It sounds like you've tried an awful lot of things. If you ever want to ask me more about it, maybe send me an email and we'll kind of go in to see what other options there are other than the ones you've tried. But I'm pretty sure that you're aware of most of the stuff out there, and it's just going to take you some time to heal. You know, and sometimes it just takes people a whole lifetime to get better.
Yes, I appreciate that. And I do want to say, again, I'm very grateful for you in my life. And you've been a huge power of example in the positive and a real blessing for me, coming from a different country. And, you know, I feel blessed to know you in the way that I do know you. And, it has been very helpful. And I do appreciate the compliment that. You know, to a great degree, I have made progress, and I appreciate you, you know, being aware of that, you know, just through a conversation.
Sure. Nick, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Sure. You know, somebody just started, somebody asked me if we could start a Facebook. Now there's a Facebook. Oh, I don't know what that's all about yet. I'm learning about it. But there's a Facebook called The Positive Mind. And I guess people go on there and they do things and they connect and they write to each other. Anyway, check it out. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. I hear somebody there. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Well, I must... Maybe there's another caller there, Michael. 212-209-2900. I think they must be busy in some part of our town over there.
Hello?
Yes, hi there. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Good.
My wife, she has bipolar, and she has different types of mood swings. Like, sometimes she's very, very happy. Mm-hmm. This time she's very, very depressed. Sometimes she scares me, like, when she has those different type of moods.
Yeah, and what is the worst kind of mood she has?
The worst one is when she gets very angry. Sometimes she latches out on me, you know.
Yeah. Now, are you a guy who has always had... who's always been able to take, like, some kind of anger if people get mad at you?
Yeah, well, my father was, you know, I grew up, my father was very abusive to me when I was...
Yeah, so you get scared.
I'm sorry?
So you must get scared when your wife gets
like
that. Yeah,
I do.
And bring back all kinds of stuff.
It's sort of like when she gets like that, I feel entrapment. I feel like if I'm going back to my childhood all over again, you know. It's hard, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, how do you spell your last name? Do you have a book, anything like that? I'm very fascinated.
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Raymond.
Raymond, listen. Yeah, anyway, my last name is DeMille, DiMELE. There is a website called thepositivemind.com.
Positive?
Thepositivemind.com, yeah.
The kind positive. Of slow, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's all right, take your time.
How do you spell your last name again?
D-I, capital M-E-L-E. Hey, Raymond, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Have, in all of your life, I mean, it sounds like you love your wife a lot.
I do. Sometimes I feel like I want to leave her, but, I mean,
sure.
We have two kids, and it's, I don't know, I feel sorry for her, too, you know. I do love her, I guess, yeah.
Yes, and you do have two children, and you'd like to keep things going. So you've got to do two things. You want to understand about bipolarity, and understanding the bipolar disorder, really understanding it, you can get a lot of information on it. Isn't there an institute where you can get that CD? Send me an email, and we'll try to get you some information, further information about how you can handle it, okay?
So positivemind.com?
Yeah, and you'll find it from the website. I got to get going. This is Armand. At 1 p.m. With more of this WBAI positive mind stuff, bringing you more information, more ideas. Okay, be gentle, my friends. You know, it's just a mood.
You ask me if I love you, and I choke on my reply. I'd rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with a lie. And who am I to judge you on what you say or do? I'm only just beginning to see the real you. And sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I want to hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I want to hold you till the fear in me subsides. Romance and all the strategy leaves me battling with But through the insecurity, some tenderness survives. I'm just another writer, still trapped within my truth. A hesitant prize fighter, still trapped within my youth. The honesty's too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides. And I know how hard you try. I've watched while love commands you, and I've watched love pass you by. At times I think we're drifters.
And the Positive Mind with Armand DeMille will return tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Dan Hill in the background. Thank you so much, Armand DeMille.